Hello, this is your Polycast for Tuesday, April 26th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the House passes an education bill and still no agreement on real ID. An education bill redirecting money to teacher recruitment, school broadband equipment, and mental health services passed the House last night, 84-46. The legislation is the first installment of a GOP-driven budget plan that will have to be reconciled with one under consideration in the DFL-led Senate. House Republicans limited new spending on public schools and colleges to $55 million, drawn from savings in other areas. Republican Representative Jennifer Loon of Eden Prairie says her bill also has important policy changes. One gives teachers more leeway to remove disruptive or violent students from classrooms.
I don't prescribe what happens to that student. I don't prescribe any particular discipline matters that should occur. That should be worked out locally.
Democrats called the overall bill meager and a missed opportunity given the state's $900 million projected surplus. Paul Thiessen is the House DFL minority leader.
The education bill should be the most exciting bill of the session. Because it really is what defines our commitment to the future of our state. I have to say this bill is generating no enthusiasm or excitement.
Republicans want to use most of the budget surplus for transportation and tax cuts this year after boosting classroom spending last year. The Minnesota Senate's budget plan has more money for schools and universities. The sides will spend the next month trying to work out a deal. A state Senate committee today plans to look at a proposal to begin issuing new driver's licenses that comply with federal security standards. A different Real ID bill cleared its first committee in the state House yesterday by a vote of 7-4. Some lawmakers say quick action is needed to make sure Minnesota travelers don't run into any problems at airports when enforcement begins, but others say it would be less expensive to wait and that there are still too many concerns about data privacy. Tim Pugmire reports.
The House bill directs the state to start issuing Real ID compliant licenses beginning October 1st. The change would require Minnesotans to provide additional personal information, including proof of state residency, for Real ID record keepers. Republican Representative Dennis Smith of Maple Grove, the bill sponsor, told members of the House Civil Law and Data Practices Committee that starting the process this year makes the most sense.
If we are able to start to implement in October of 2016, no one will have to get a license twice before October 2020, which is the federal date that everyone needs to be Real ID compliant. So everyone will go through the normal renewal process that will be very consumer friendly and save some efficiencies within the system.
State officials estimate the cost of implementation under Smith's timetable could reach $5 million. They say it would be significantly less in 2018 when a new license computer system is expected to be up and running. Still, Smith said he's convinced an October start is the best path.
I feel we've gotten to the point, based on the timeline that the federal government has rolled out, that the clock is about to expire and we need to act.
Smith's bill would require all new licenses to be Real ID compliant, but some lawmakers from both parties argue that there needs to be another option. They say drivers who are concerned about the federal collection of personal data and who don't ever travel by plane should be able to get a simple non-Real ID compliant license. Similar concerns fueled the 2009 prohibition on Real ID planning that lawmakers repealed last month. DFL Representative Dan Schoen of St. Paul Park tried unsuccessfully to change the bill in the committee meeting. Schoen predicted Smith's single-track approach doesn't have enough support among both Democrats and Republicans to become law.
This is my attempt to get us closer to a point where the public can see that we're making an effort to get something that's actually going to pass and done. And I don't think that a single track is going to be in that spot for us.
The Minnesota Senate panel will take up a significantly different approach to Real ID this week. DFL Senator Scott Dibble of Minneapolis said his bill will address the data collection concerns by providing a non-compliant license option. Dibble said under his plan, new Real ID compliant licenses would begin being issued in 2018 using the new state computer system.
seems to make sense just to build the Real ID implementation into the development and the programming for that new system. But that does mean we're going to have to contend with the added expense and the added workload that'll go with folks who are needing to renew their driver's license inside of a two-year window versus the standard four-year window. So we need to figure that out.
Dibble said he wants the state to subsidize the cost of license renewal, which would further lessen the projected savings of a later implementation. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A sixth Twin Cities man has pleaded guilty to terrorism-related charges after being accused of attempting to join ISIS. Federal prosecutors say 21-year-old Hamza Ahmed tried to travel to Syria in late 2014 before he was stopped at Kennedy Airport in New York. Ahmed formally changed his plea yesterday in a Minneapolis federal courtroom. Matt Sepik has the story.
In February of last year, a federal grand jury charged Hamza Ahmed with conspiring to provide material support to a designated foreign terrorist organization and lying to the FBI. In October, prosecutors brought additional charges, including conspiracy to murder overseas and financial aid fraud. The government alleged Ahmed used student loan money to buy airline tickets to Turkey, his planned point of departure for Syria. However, after reaching a deal with the government, Ahmed pleaded guilty yesterday in federal court to just two of those crimes, material support conspiracy and loan fraud. Flanked by his defense attorney and a prosecutor, Ahmed stood for more than an hour in orange prison garb and answered questions from U.S. District Judge Michael Davis. The judge asked Ahmed if he understood the life-altering implications of pleading guilty, whether he'd had adequate legal counsel, and if he understood that he has the right to a jury trial. Ahmed answered yes every time. Assistant U.S. Attorney John Dougherty then asked Ahmed to describe in detail what led him to ISIS. Ahmed responded that he watched the terror group's videos online, and he and his friends, quote, hyped each other up about going to Syria and, quote, helping any way we could. With his guilty pleas, Ahmed faces up to 20 years in prison and a $270,000 fine. But with the murder abroad charge out of the picture, Ahmed avoids life behind bars. After the hearing, his defense attorney, Jane Ann Murray, said her client is gratified the government has extended a plea offer and they're focused now on the sentencing. Murray said she wants to make sure Ahmed's life is not derailed by, quote, youthful and idealistic choices. Of the 10 Twin Cities men charged in the ISIS case, six have now pleaded guilty. One remains at large, presumably in Syria, and a trial for the remaining three is scheduled to begin May 9th. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. We'll be right back.